Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. Since we just celebrated the birthday of our country, we thought it would be a good time to sing some patriotic songs today and to really just thank God for the opportunity that we have to live in a free country and to be able to worship in the church of our choice, something that we just take for granted. And if you think about the many, many people who cannot do that, so we truly are blessed by that. Our call to worship is God Bless America. It was written by Irving Berlin in 1918, and it takes on the form of a prayer where we're asking God to for a blessing on our country and peace for our nation. So join us on the insert.
Up. We're celebrating the 4th of July forever. We've got a lot to be thankful for. In fact, why don't we greet one another? If you don't know who's sitting in behind you or in front of you, take a moment and say hello. Welcome. Couple of announcements. There's some sign-up sheets for the beef and corn feed on the table in the narthex. How do I say this? My job as a pastor, one of my main jobs, is to be a community builder, to bring people together. When we have these fundraisers, we call them fundraisers, it's not about raising the funds. It's about creating fellowship and community. You don't know how many people come from, I know widows and widowers who come in and sit for the 3 hours that were open because they don't ever have a place unless they go to the bar. They don't have a place to visit, so they come and meet. When we have these fundraisers, people get to know each other when you're washing dishes or serving tables or whatever. So the money that we make on the beef and corn feed and the jamboree and what's the big thing we have last Saturday? The bazaar. It's not about the money. It's about creating fellowship and having opportunities to get to know each other and roll up our sleeves and work together. So if you are a member or a visitor and you want to get to know people, sign up for some of those things. I know two Saturdays from now, we're going to move it to Saturday instead of a Friday, but usually 30, 40 people come and peel corn, and we have the corn done in a half an hour, but there's more. It's not about the corn, it's about the bologna. Anyway, if you'd like to have some fun and you'd like to create community, and you might need to listen to someone's story, which do I have a story to tell you? You know, sometimes we have a burden and it's good to share, and sometimes it's good to a place to share a burden. So anyway, sign up, come and join us, and we'll have a good time doing that. The other opportunity for community is our veggie stand. Veggie stand's open. We haven't had any veggies yet. I'm waiting. We had a couple plants yesterday. Thank you, Marlis, wherever you are. Anyway, the veggies are going to come, but if you bake a pan of bars, cut up a few of them and put them in a bag and bring them over on Saturday morning. Or if you make some cookies, put a half a dozen of them on a little plate and bring them over. Our guests that come up to the lake come over. There's great fellowship that takes place there. A lot of stories and the veggie stand. It's not about the money, but the proceeds are used for local needs, not necessarily church people, but anybody who gets in trouble. We have through the veggie stand offerings, which are free will. We have a chance to make the world a better place. So veggie stand is there every Saturday. So I just lift that up before you. The rest of the announcements you can be responsible for on your own. It's nice that you are here. It's important that we take time to focus a few thoughts on our Lord. Let's begin with a word of prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. It's unconditional. And for your forgiveness, which comes day after day after day. And for the joy and peace that we carry in our hearts. Some of us gather with heavy burdens this morning, because the world gets to be a little difficult at times. Some of us come full of joy because of all the good things that are happening around us. And yet we gather as brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow sojourners here on earth. So send your Spirit to remind us of your presence and your power and your promise that there is life with you. Be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please lead us in America the Beautiful. Should we have them stand?
The number is wrong in your bulletin. It's number 888 in your red hymnal.
heard two versions of that last verse. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. We open our worship this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Creator God, we gather as your children in need of forgiveness. For the times we have failed to put you first in our hearts. For the people we have failed to help because of our selfishness. Most merciful God, forgive our sins and hear the prayers of our hearts. Let's take a moment for a silent confession. God has heard our prayers and forgives our sin. We are no longer held captive by the chains of sin. We are free to fly like the eagle, released from the bonds of death. Jesus loves us. This is all we need to know, for we do not receive the keys to the community of God because of our great faith or by our kind deeds. It is because Jesus died on the cross and rose victorious over death that we have become heirs to everlasting life. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Let's join together in the prayer of the day. O Lord God, your mercy delights us, and the world longs for your loving care. Hear the cries of everyone in need, and turn our hearts to love our neighbors with the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. You guys have an anthem? It's not listed in our bulletins. No anthem. Okay.
The first reading today is from Colossians 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you, just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world. So it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras and our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The psalm is Psalm 25, 1 through 10, with the refrain, "Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths." To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are everlasting. Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
You are gracious and upright, O Lord. Therefore you teach sinners in your way.
You lead the lowly in justice and teach the lowly your way.
All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your covenant and your testimonies. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths.
Please rise for the gospel.
The gospel lesson for this eighth Sunday after Pentecost is found in the 10th chapter of St. Luke, beginning with the 25th verse. Jesus is challenged to explain what is involved in obeying the greatest commandment. Jesus tells a parable rich in surprises. Those expected to show pity display hard hearts, while the lowly give and receive unexpected and lavish mercy. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The word of life, the word of God. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, This Land Is Your Land.
This land is your land, this land is mine, from Jericho to Jordan.
Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A Nobel winner said this: you can tell whether a person is clever by his answers. You can tell whether a person is wise by his questions. And philosopher Voltaire said, judge a person by his questions rather than by his answers. So in our gospel lesson today, we have an expert in the law standing up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? If we were to judge this expert in the law by these questions, we'd be deceived. He wasn't seeking to discover some profound secret about life. He wasn't even trying to discover the way to God. He was trying to trip up Jesus. Jesus was getting in the way of the temple business. He was drawing people away from the temple. He was challenging teachings that had been passed down through centuries and centuries. And so he's trying to discredit Jesus by getting him to goof up on his answers. Still, Jesus uses this experience to open the door of life for those who want to enter into full life. Huh? Actually, the expert in the law asks Jesus two questions, but let's deal with the first one. First, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? First of all, that the lawyer's questions stress doing something should catch our attention, huh? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? What good action could he take that would ensure that God would accept him into the pearly gates? That's what he's concerned about. There's no concept on this lawyer's part of God's never-ending love, unconditional love for every person. There's no concept of God's grace accepting us as unlovely and as dirty and sinful as we are. It's God's grace that gives us the gift of heaven. But this guy, he's trying to figure out what he could do so that he gets into the pearly gates, huh? And he's no different than many of us when you think about it. We want to make sure we meet the minimum standard. So we have things like this. You believe in Jesus? Check. Are you baptized? Check. You go to worship? Yeah, I cover it on Easter and Christmas. Check. We do all the things that are necessary, you know. And he wanted to know if there was something he was missing. That was his concern. And Jesus shows this lawyer that this lawyer already knows everything he needs to know to find life. I mean, he's an expert in the law. Everything that this lawyer needs to know is found in the law of Moses, and this guy's an expert in the law. So Jesus asks him, what's written in the law? How do you read it? And everywhere he went, this expert in the law, in Jesus' day, they carried what they called a phylactery. Remember the old days when you carried briefcases? Now many of you carry it all on your iPhones or your iPads. You carry all the information right at your hand. I won't tell you about Jim Lang. He likes to check on my examples to see if I'm telling the truth. But this guy's the expert. He's got the whole law of Moses memorized. And so, how do you read it? And he quotes from Deuteronomy 6:3 and Deuteronomy 6:11. The expert answers, what must I do? The answer is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you've answered correctly. Do this and you'll live. Do this and you'll live. What did Jesus mean when he said, do this and you'll live? The lawyer already is alive physically. Was there more to life than this lawyer was experiencing? Maybe there's something underneath Jesus' question, or was he missing something, this lawyer? Is there an aliveness that goes beyond merely existing? Is that what Jesus is talking about? A great missionary and a writer named E. Stanley Jones said he was alive in the alive. The second alive was spelled in capital letters. I tried to put that down for you. He was alive in the alive. He knew the love of God. He knew the joy and the hope and the peace. He's alive every moment of every day in the alive. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly, alive in the alive. To find Christ is to become alive in capital letters. In this world, here and now, and in the world to come. Have you noticed that so many people live dreary lives? Any of you country western fans remember the song by Tim McGraw that has a twist on this idea? Song's entitled Live Like You Are Dying. It's a story of a man in his 40s who's told by his doctor that he's dying. And so this man chases his style of living. And in the chorus, the man says to his friends, I went skydiving. I went Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. I loved deeper. I spoke sweeter. And I gave forgiveness I've been denying. Then the refrain concludes, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. You heard that song? Have you ever heard that, Jim? You don't listen to country western stations then. This is good advice. Live like you were dying. So many people live dreary, pointless lives. I just read some statistics, went around. These are the statistics. They said an American spends 3 years in business meetings, 13 years watching TV. 13 years watching TV. And there's nothing on. 187 stations. They make 1,811 trips to McDonald's, this study said. They're involved in six motor vehicle accidents. Their hospitals 8 times for men and 12 times for women. They spend 24 years sleeping. So get a good mattress. They spend about 5 years dreaming, and they spend 6 months waiting at red traffic lights. Thank the Lord we don't have that problem up here. But so much of our time is spent accomplishing humdrum tasks, and yet so little time is spent being fully alive with eyes wide open. You've probably heard the story about when life really begins. I mean, theologians have been talking about this question for years and years and years. The Catholic priest says life begins at conception. The Jewish rabbi says life begins at the moment of birth. The Protestant pastor says life begins when the last kid graduates from high school, goes to college, and the dog dies. When does life begin? What does it mean to be alive, really alive? That's, I think, what Jesus is talking about. The lawyer already had the answer in the Hebrew law. Jesus answers the lawyer's question with a question. What's written in the law? And he says, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, said Jesus. Do this and you'll live. Now, I throw that verse out. You've all heard this for years. Over and over from the time you were in high school, you've heard this verse. But from Jesus' answer to the lawyer, it's clear that new life is possible only through the power of love. I've overlooked the word love for so long. But here, this business of love sticks out. Love for God and love for neighbor. Sam Shoemaker, a friend of mine, said, in the triangle of love between ourselves, God, and other people is found the secret of existence and the best foretaste, I suspect, that we can have on earth of what heaven will probably be like. It's about love. No one is more alive than one when one is in love. Yesterday at the veggie stand, we had these little snippets of conversation. I asked, do you remember when you first felt those butterflies in your stomach when you first started dating? Right away. Yeah, man. Do you remember? We're not going to go there. I'm going to edit my remarks. Thank goodness the filter is on. Thank you, Lord. But do you remember the first experience you had of being in love? I mean, poets and songwriters have had millions of words and tunes about love. Love, love, love. That's what it's all about. The popular song a generation ago, if you ain't loving, then you ain't living. Poor grammar, but great theology. Love is the center of our lives. The power of love has driven people to climb mountains, to cross oceans, to start wars, to give up thrones. Love brings a glow to your face, a twinkle to your eye, a lightness to your step. It makes you get up in the morning and get going. No other force in the world can do that like love. Withhold love from a small baby and it's going to shrivel up and die, regardless of how many vitamins and minerals you feed him. Without love, we can't survive. Not emotionally, not spiritually. That's how important love is. We were made for community. We were made for sharing and for belonging, you and I. There's no force in the world that moves us and motivates us as does love. Love tells us who we are. Love tells us we belong, that we're a part of something bigger than ourselves. Power of love is magnificent. What does it mean to love God? There's been an erroneous notion in the Christian community that the Jews feared God and Christians loved God. If that's a pretty simplistic way of looking at scriptures. This lawyer who confronted Jesus and quoted the commandment, quoting from the Hebrew Bible, which we call the Old Testament, we shouldn't forget that. He was quoting from the Bible. The ancient Jews, they've known more about the love of God than many of us ever will. One of the great poets of all time, Samuel Taylor Coleridge, once reminded us that the good Jew would not tread upon a piece of paper that was on the ground or on the floor because they feared the word name of God might be on it. You can't trample on the name of God. Can you imagine such a regard for God? Can you imagine such a regard for His holiness that you wouldn't trample on a piece of paper because the name of God might be on it? Maybe a Jew did fear God, but that kind of attitude is closer to love than the casual, irreverent way we use God's name today. The name of God isn't to be trampled upon. When we love God, we treat it, His name, and we treat Him with reverence, and we respect everything that is God, including other people. And that brings us to the second question that the lawyer asked Jesus. Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? I preached on this. Every 3 years we get these lessons again in the mainline Protestant churches. So I must have preached on this 6 or 9 years ago. And I talked about who is my neighbor. In the next 2 weeks, I had 4 different people come and confront me. You talking about me? You talking about me? I didn't even know. I heard stories about pulling guns and burning fences and hanging crosses in the window so the people don't. Oh, man. Jesus answers this lawyer with one of his famous stories. Who is my neighbor? A man's going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He's attacked by robbers. They strip him of his clothes, beat him, leave him near death. A priest comes along, sees him. He doesn't want to be... He's probably going to a religious meeting where they have purification rites. Doesn't want to touch human blood and go through, 24 hours of purification rites. So he passes on the other side. The Levite, who's in charge of the temple, sees that this man is beaten and on the edge of dying. He's the same way. He passes by on the other side. A Samaritan comes by. Now, you folks probably don't know why the Samaritans and the Israelites didn't get along. Samaria is north of Jerusalem about 100 miles. And there was a big discussion and big argument about where they should put the temple because in those days they believed that the presence of God was in the temple. In all the items that they stored, in all the worship services, that the presence of God was in the temple. And the temple was put in Jerusalem and not Samaria like the northerners wanted. It's north of Jerusalem. And So they never got along. They never liked each other. It was always a competition. It's kind of like when a Green Bay Packer fan sneaks across the Minnesota border. You don't get along. And that's why the Samaritans and the Israelites, the Jewish from Israel, didn't get along because of the placement of the temple. Anyway, the Samaritan, he doesn't stop and worry about purification rites or anything. He sees a man that's beaten, that's bleeding, that's near death. He cleans his wounds, puts him on his donkey, rides him to the next hotel or place of rest, pays for his care, says, if there's anything more you pay, take care of him and I'll pay you the rest on the way home. Look after him. And Jesus asked the lawyer, which of these three do you think is the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Authentic love for God always leads to love for people. All people. Is it possible to love, for me to love my neighbor if somehow he's different than me or has different attitudes or is a different color or different race or different theology or different political parties? Is it possible for me to love my neighbor? We've been reading a book called Love Wins. We've been watching videos by a guy named Rob Bell. In the book Love Wins, he starts out, he's an evangelical free pastor, big church out of Detroit. He's not there now, but because of his teachings, they've kind of asked him to leave. Anyway, Rob Bell in this book Love Wins talks about, right away he opens the book by saying their church had a big art program and someone had taken a picture of Nobel laureate Mahatma Gandhi. And Mahatma Gandhi's picture was in this art fair. And someone took a post-it note and wrote, "Too bad he's roasting in hell," and put it on this picture. And Rob Bell and I ask, Mahatma Gandhi is roasting in hell? Mahatma Gandhi, the greatest peacemaker of the 20th century, maybe the greatest peacemaker since Jesus, is roasting in hell, really? Really? Jesus is saying, love your neighbor. If you want to come alive and live alive, we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus gave the lawyer the answer to both his questions. You want abundant life in this world and in the world to come. Love God and love your neighbor. Who's my neighbor? Everyone on earth. Everyone on earth. Something for us to think about these days. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen.
The next song is entitled Lord Heal Thy World Today and is sung to the tune of My Country 'Tis of Thee.
Thank you.
the congregation please rise? Let us join in the offertory prayer found in the middle of page 4. Let us pray together. In loving response to your gracious blessing, we come with the offering of our time and treasure. May these gifts bring hope and healing to a world in need. Amen. Confident in God's compassionate rule and enduring love, let us lift up the needs of the church, the world, and all of creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Empower those who witness to the gospel, that their actions may bear fruit and help others to know your grace. Lord, in your mercy. Watch over all that is vulnerable and weak in this world. New life, frail bodies, fading strength. Help us feel your presence through all of life's seasons. Lord, in your mercy. Incline your ear to the voiceless and powerless, refugees and victims of terror, and bring compassion to the hearts of those in power. Make us instruments of your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Open our arms to all our neighbors, the hungry, poor, and homeless, the friendless and the outsider, the elderly and children, and all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. We especially lift up in our prayers today our friends Mary England, Mike Macho, Ruth Parsons, Mel Hammond, and those in each one of our lives who need your healing touch. Comfort them and bring them peace. Lord, in your mercy. Give us patience with each other as we work together extending your mercy to our neighborhoods through our ministries. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this reminder today about the way we live our lives and the way we love. We pray, O Lord, that we might be so filled with love that we exude it wherever we travel this day. We thank you for your Son and for his teachings. We thank you for the many blessings we have in this country. Most especially, we thank you for family and friends and the support and care we receive from each other. Walk with us these days and allow us to live fully. Grant that we may share in the inheritance of all your saints in light, claiming the hope laid up for us in heaven by the work of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. God of mercy, hear the cries of your people and answer us according to your steadfast love through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's join in the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Closing hymn is Battle Hymn of the Republic.